The Sefer HaChinuch only has one mitzvah in this week's parsha. It is true that we do say that all the mitzvahs are relevant to us and there's what to learn from them. This week's parsha, Parshas Vayakra B'Kudei, it's a little bit more difficult, so we're going to be a little bit more creative. The mitzvah the Sefer HaChinuch talks about is that based in, if they paskin that somebody is chayiv misa, we don't carry out Mises Basin. Basin doesn't carry capital punishment on Shabbos. I'm not going to talk about that because it doesn't, even the reason that the Sefer Chinuch brings about the importance of Shabbos, that everybody gets a chance on Shabbos, even somebody who's a Baal Aveira, is certainly a very nice idea. But I want to talk about something else. We're going to relate to the Rabbeinu Bachya that's in front of you in a moment. I want to talk about the mitzvah of Havdalah, hopefully a mitzvah that we come in contact with at least once a week. And hopefully that we're careful to hear. I want to talk about what the purpose of Havdalah is and hopefully draw a little bit more meaning out of Havdalah. I think for most of us, when it comes to Havdalah, we kind of wonder, like, let's just get it over with as fast as we can. We have places to go, people to see, things to do. You know, quicker the better. Maybe once a year we'll be inspired for a musical Havdalah and, we'll want to sing. But generally, I don't think we put that much thought into Havdalah and what it is about. So we're going to look at Rabbeinu Bach in a moment, but just a little bit of a background. The Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Shabbos that the chiyuv to recite Havdalah is midah oraisa, is a Torah level commandment to say Havdalah. And the Rambam says, just like we are mekadesh Shabbos when it enters with Kiddush Friday night, so too are mekadesh, we sanctify Shabbos when it leads as well with the words Havdalah. The Magid Mishnah on the Rambam says there are some who say that it is midah rabbanan to say Havdalah. But generally, the opinion is that, according to most poskim, that Havdalah is a Torah-level commandment. The Beis Yosef, as I think you all know, quotes a machlokas whether women are chayiv in Havdalah or not. This is something we've all learned in 10th grade, repeated again in 12th grade this year. And the lumdus is as follows. The opinion is that women are not chayiv in Havdalah because Havdalah is a mitzvah derabbanan. And it's not part of the mitzvahs of Shabbos. It's a motzei Shabbos activity. And since it is a motzei Shabbos activity, not part of Zachos and Shabbos Lekadsho, so therefore it's a time-bound mitzvah, women would be exempt. Rabbeinu Yonah says no. Rabbeinu Yonah says Havdalah is a Shabbos activity. It's the last activity you do on Shabbos, and therefore just like women are commanded to sanctify Shabbos, Zachos and Shabbos Lekadsho, whoever is chayiv in the Shamar aspects of Shabbos has to keep the Zachar aspects of Shabbos, so too women are obligated in Havdalah. The Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rabbeinu Yonah, that women are chayiv in Havdalah, and Havdalah is midah oraisa. I think you all know that the Ramah brings the famous Shita that he's not sure, Yeshmi Shecholek, those who argue, and that's the idea that a man should be owed to the woman Havdalah. But really, we know at the end of the day, women pretty much are chayiv in Havdalah. And if there's no man available, women make their own Havdalah, they drink the wine, they're not going to grow a beard, all these things that that we all know. Yeah.
I know that like we are obligated in Havdalah, but to say that it's part of Shabbos, wouldn't it be malacha, like fire?
Good. So Rabbeinu Yonah is going to touch upon that idea. Why is it that fire is the thing that we... It's interesting, right? We begin Shabbos with fire by lighting Shabbos candles. We end Shabbos with fire as well. So we'll talk about the role of fire in a second. Yeah.
What's the reason why women wouldn't be obligated?
Because it's a motzei Shabbos activity, and therefore it's time-bound, and women are exempt in any time-bound mitzvah that's not connected to Shabbos. Okay? Okay, let's read a piece in the Rabbeinu Bachya in this week's Parsha. The klal kol... Oh, but what's the pasuk in the Parsha? The third pasuk in the Parsha is, Lo sivaru eish... B'chol moshvoseichem b'yom ha-Shabbos. You shall not light a fire in all of your myths on the day of Shabbos. In fact, it is the only explicit malacha that the Torah says you shouldn't do. The other 38 malachos we learn out from the Mishkan and the word of malacha and what does go into the Mishkan, what doesn't go into the Mishkan. It's the only one of the 39 malachos the Torah says explicitly, don't do this on Shabbos. That's why Karaites, it was in the dark. They not even, when they light, they wouldn't even have a fire. That is no. Let's look what Rabbeinu Bachya says. The klal kol ha-malachas b'malachas eish. He says, really, the malach of eish really speaks for all of the malachas. Ki bi'adua sh'rov ha-malachas sh'bnei adam misaskin b'hem, Einam Elia Daesh. He says, because a lot of the malachos that we come in contact with have to go through fire. If you're
Would
cooking,
you
it? Yeah, the a lot of the malachos that people are misasek, that they involve themselves with on Shabbos, Einam Ela Al Yedei Esh. It's really only with fire. Most of the things that you would do on Shabbos, either would be cooking with fire, you would be warming up the house with fire. The fire and the use of fire really is a malacha that is unto itself, but it also interacts with so many of the other malachas on Shabbos. Ki ha'esh sibasam ve'ikram. Fire is really the reason, it's the ikar, it's the source of a lot of what we do as human beings. V'lekach tiknu lanu razal. Therefore, Chazal established b'mitzvahs havdalah b'motzei Shabbos, that the mitzvah havdalah after Shabbos shutchilas heter hamalachos, which is really the beginning of all malachos, is the varech al ha'esh, borei moreish. We begin the heter, the permissibility of engaging in all malachos, says Rabbeinu Bachya, by making a bracha on fire. Lefisha eish tchilas hamalachos of Maaseh Breishis. Because fire begins all of the malachos of Maaseh Breishis. Ke'inyan shakasu b'yom rishon vayhi or. Right? The whole process of Maaseh Breishis begins with or, light, fire. It's really the beginning of everything. V'hine, dalid brachos havdalah, rushumos shem lekol maskel. He says the four brachos that we make by havdalah all relate to Maaseh Breishis. Brilliant. Look at what he shows here. He says, I obviously in the Rebbeinu Bachya doesn't list that 1, 2, 3, 4. I did that for easier to follow. He says, Birchas hayayin remuzahi b'pasuk breishis b'milo sa'aretz shuhagan v'gefen began. The yayin is representing the fact that Hashem created Gan Eden and the plants and the life of the world. V'hayayin ha'meshumar me'anava m'sheshis me'breishis. Also, there's a special wine that's going to be kept for the tzaddikim from Sheshes Mei Breishis that they're going to drink by the suit of Mashiach. So wine speaks to one aspect of creation of the world, of Gan Eden, of vegetation, and the wine that will be drunk by tzaddikim that was saved from Sheshes Mei Breishis.
What? There's wine that was created by...
There's a special wine that Hashem is holding for the tzaddikim to have at the Suda when Mashiach comes. That was created in Sheshes Mei Breishis. 2. Birchas Atzei Besamim. Where do we see the idea that Besamim tells us about Breishis? Remuza B'milas V'ruach Elokim. Right? The Pasuk says, V'ruach Elokim Merachefes Al Pnei Hamayim. The Spirit, but also Ruach is Reach. The Reach, in Chazal's eyes, the Gemara Bracha says this, the sense of smell is the most spiritual and it is the most ephemeral and holy of all senses, because there's nothing physical. Now we know, yes, person smells, we know there's, you know, different atoms and cells that it goes into the person's olfactory nerves, but if from the sense as a human being, it's the one that's least gashmi of all of the senses that we have. And therefore we see v'ruach Elokim, ki ha'reach be'emtsos ha'ruachu, avir, that's the air, shi she'if adam avir, the person inhales and smells the air, v'yachnis oso b'chotmo, goes into the nose, he brings idea in Kabbalah here, we're not going to get into right now, but it refers to v'ruach Elokim. The reach of smelling refers to the spirituality of God, the ruach and reach. That's number 2. And that happened by Maaseh Breishis.
I'm confused. What does it have to do with Breishis?
And by Breishis it says v'ruach Elokim. There was the spirit of God in by the creation of the world, and therefore the ruach of Hashem representing the reach of smelling with the summit. 3. Ma'ore ha'esh na'amar hior. That's pretty straightforward. Fire, it says, vayhior. And there was light, there was fire. And that's from the very beginning of day 1. And the 4th is ha'mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. That we make the bracha that Hashem distinguishes that which is holy and that which is profane, that which is mundane. Sh'na'amar vayavdel elokim ben ha'or uvein ha'choshech. The Hashem distinguishes between light, which represents Kedusha, and Choshech, which represents a lack of Kedusha, V'havein Vazeh, and one who knows will understand this. Meaning, one who knows Kabbalah will also see something deeper over there as well. So, the Rabbeinu Bachya tells us that even when we say Havdalah, we are hearkening back to the first creation. It's a reminder of the first creation. You know, we often say the world is created Yesh Me'ayin, right? something from nothing. But it's not really true. It's not true that the world's created Yishmaayim. The reality is, I'll tell you why. The reality is that Hashem is Melo Kol Aretz Kvodo. Hashem fills the whole world. Hashem is everywhere. Now, if Hashem is everywhere, where is there space for us then? If Hashem encompasses all of conceivable reality, so where do we, how do I exist in this world if Hashem is everywhere at the same time? So the answer is, and this is based on the Arizal and Sifrei Kabbalah, is that in order to make a world of Bechira, a world where we would have free choice, where Hashem is not so obvious to us, a world of natural sciences, where Hashem is not so obvious to us, a world of natural history, where Hashem conceals himself from what's going on, what's the first thing Hashem did? He made a Havdalah. Hashem was Mavdil. He separated himself from the world. Hashem hid himself, so to speak. He constricted himself from the world to make place for the natural world to exist as well. Once that autonomous entity, the world itself that we live in, was created, the void was filled, and there was a space where Hashem removed himself. He was Mavdil. Hashem separated himself from the world. So then Hashem filled it with population and things and stuff and all those things like that. The Havdalah was a world that was devoid of any obvious Ribono Sha'olam. Hashem is Mavdil himself. Hashem first cleared space, right? And then he put stuff into the world. So it's not really Yesh Me'ayin. First there was a void. There was a Havdalah where Hashem removed himself and made a space for the world to exist. Chazal were misakin. Chazal established different aspects in Havdalah as a hint to remind us the Havdalah that was made by Hashem when he created the world. That Hashem first had to create space by removing his awesome presence in the world. There could be space for us as well to exist. Throughout Maaseh Bereishis, there is a word that repeats itself over and over again. And that word is Havdalah, right? Vayavdel Elokim bein Or bein Achoshech. Vayhi Mavdil bein Mayim l'Mayim. Vayavdel bein Hamayim asher mitachas l'Rakia, between the waters that are below, over the Rakia. L'Havdil bein Hayom bein Halayla, distinguishing day and night. Vayas Elokim eshnei hamaros hagadolim, where he made two lights, big and small. L'Havdil bein Or bein Achoshech. Again and again and again. By Maaseh Bereishis we are told, Lahavdil, Lahavdil, Lahavdil. Why is there so much separation going on? And why is the Torah stress this Havdalah that's being made? So I want to share with you a beautiful idea that I once heard from Moshe Shapiro. Moshe Shapiro was a massive expert in Machshava, in Kabbalah, in the Maharal. He, in fact, was, I'm saying, if you never heard of Moshe Shapiro before, which we should have, but you all heard of Rav Dessler. Moshe Shapiro was the youngest Talmud of Rav Dessler. He was just a young teenager in Panovich when Rav Dessler was the Mashgiach in Panovich, Eretz Yisrael, and Rav Dessler passed away at a relatively young age. And Moshe Shapiro passed away within, you know, 5-6 years ago. So he was the youngest of the Talmidim of Rav Dessler. So Moshe Shapiro pointed out that there's a Yushalmi Maseches Brachos, and the Yushalmi wants to know, on Motzei Shabbos, I don't know if you've ever davened Marav on Moshe Shabbos before, but if you ever davened Marav on Moshe Shabbos, you'll know that we make a bracha and a Havdalah in Shmoneh Esrei, right?
But like, aren't you not supposed to say it
if,
like, you're hearing
Havdalah
after?
No. Men in Shul say it in Marav. And then like, they make Havdalah again.
That's why they're allowed to make Havdalah again, because they already said it in Shmoneh
Esrei. Either way, if a woman says Marav, she'll say the same. Now, where do you make the bracha of Havdalah?
In
Atach. In Atach Das, right? In the bracha of Das. The Gemara asks, why did Anshei Knesset Gedolah put the bracha of Havdalah in the bracha of asking Hashem for intellect and wisdom? So the Gemara, Yerushalmi says, Im ein dea Havdalah minayin. If you don't have Das, if you don't have intellect and a mind, then you can't make distinctions. In order to know how to distinguish between what is A and what is B, what is dark and what is light, you need Das. The concept of Das means that a person can differentiate between two things, two levels, two concepts. A person who doesn't have Das can't make decisions like that. It's usually a child, a person who is mentally impaired. They can't distinguish between what is right is wrong, what is safe and what is not safe. in order to make havdalah, in order to distinguish between things, you need to have a brain. Interestingly, in Lashon HaKodesh, where Moshe Shapiro pointed out, das means to connect to something intimately. Right? In the language of the Torah, when we want to describe the relationship between a man and a woman, we'll say vayeda, and the man knew the woman. So it's interesting that the same word for das, which is meant to indicate to make separations, the same word for das is also the word to indicate connecting to something. In Rus, in the beginning of Perek Beis of Rus, we're told that Naomi had a relative. And the word for relative in Megillas Rus is a moda'a, from the language of das, because you're close to one another. So ask for Moshe Shapiro, how can the same word indicate two opposite concepts? On one hand, we're saying if you need to know how to separate things, you need to have das, right? You need to have understanding. But then whenever the Torah wants to say the two things are connected to each other, it uses the word das. It's the opposite idea. So he explained that if a person knows how to make havdalah and knows how to make distinctions and what is proper, what is not proper, then you can truly connect to something. You can't truly connect to something, have a meaningful relationship with something, unless you first know how to have gedarim and borders, and then to know how to place things in categories. And only once you can categorize things and make separations can I really connect to something in a real way. They'll never really have a chibur with something. You can only become close to something if you can also make separations and distinctions.
Yeah, but why would you call like a relative a das? Like would you distinguish the relative?
Ah, so we're going to, because it's a good question, perhaps we could suggest that you have to know, you know, that, you know, where that relative's relationship is. You have to know how close you are to that person. You know, is it an uncle? Is it an aunt? You know, we know there are certain relatives that a person is not allowed to marry, can marry, things like that. You have to be able to make distinctions as well. One second, I'll take a question. In our davening, we mentioned the bracha on the concept of havdalah within the concept of chonein hadas. Das is what is mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. The thing that allows you to distinguish between whether it's light or dark, or something is safe or not safe, or holy or not holy, is your brain. And the way we are mavdil ben kodesh l'chol is with using this das. Yeah.
Me?
Yeah.
Can you give me an example of if someone is able to make distinctions, you can make a better connection?
I'm going to come around to the end. We're going to come back to that at the end. Okay? Good. Yeah.
Before you said that, like, space wasn't created from nothing, like, nothing was created from nothing. But how's that possible? Hashem made space, there's something there to pull.
Yeah.
So that's from nothing, right?
Correct.
He was there, not
meaning. What I mean when we say it's not Yishma, what I mean is a person shouldn't think it was like that and then all of a sudden, boom, trees.
It was like more of a
there was a step-by-step process.
Yeah.
So first Hashem
right,
making space.
From
true, but it wasn't first Hashem, the first step before Yishma Ayin is Hashem had to make space in the world to remove himself, so to speak,
yeah,
to constrict
like
himself so the world could exist.
Like that was nothing,
good, but even the Ramban will admit that there has to be first, Hashem has to be mitzamtzim. He has to constrict himself in order to make space for the rest of the world to exist.
He took up the whole place.
Exactly. So if a person takes up the whole place, Hashem fills the whole world. If Hashem is malei kol haaretz kvodo.
But we still say he does. No.
It's true in a different sense.
Mm-hmm.
In a different sense. Now, wisdom comes from distinctions, like we're saying, right? You know, if you go to the doctor and you have a cough, so then the doctor, for you, a cough is a cough is a cough, right? But the doctor listening can distinguish between a type of cough, and if that needs a certain type of medication, if that needs just to go home and rest, you know, a shower, some sleep, whatever it may be. Why? Because the doctor has a das, a wisdom that you don't have, right?
Yeah, but that doesn't make a distinction.
He's distinguishing between which types of coughs need different types of things. A person who doesn't have das says, a cough is a cough, do all the same thing. But with more wisdom, you can make distinctions between different things. A cardiologist can hear things in the heart that you can't hear. You hear a heartbeat, I hear a heartbeat, I don't know, it sounds like a heartbeat. But a cardiologist can make distinctions with das that you can't make. Children who don't have enough das can't distinguish between what is safe and what is not safe. An oven looks like every other counter. And the street looks like the sidewalk. They can't make those distinctions. But as you mature, with more das, you can make those distinctions. learning how to discern what is holy and what is hurtful is part of Havdalah. We have the idea of making distinctions all over. Right? We say in Havdalah, Hamav bin Kodosh Lecho bin Or Lechoshech bin Yisrael Amim bin Yumashvi L'Sheish Yisrael Amasar. There's a beautiful idea from the Sefer Yetzirah. The Sefer Yetzirah says that the whole world is divided into time, space, and person. You can divide anything in the world into one of these categories. Either it's part of time, it's part of the calendar, it's part of a type of individual, a type of being, or it's part of a space, a type of area. So for example, we'll give one example. On Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest place on the planet, is the Kohen Gadol, the holiest Jew. And they all converge in one area. You have a distinction of person, time, and space. Understand this? Mm-hmm. So listen to what the Sfas Emes says. He says we're referring to all of these things in the last bracha. We say, Bein Or L'Choshech is space. That Hashem distinguishes between space, places that are light and places that are dark. Bein Yisrael Amim, between Jew and non-Jew, distinguishes between types of people. And finally, Bein Yom HaShvi L'Sheisha Samasa distinguishes in time, right? And what is Hamadon Kosh L'Chol? That's an introduction. That's like a title. Hashem is Hamadon Kosh L'Chol, between holy and profane. And let me give you three examples from the entire world of where this takes place as the Sfas Emes. It takes place in time, it takes place in space, and it takes place with different types of people. The whole universe has Havdalah all around us. You know, when Hashem creates two things and he makes them distinct, it's obvious they're both important, right? Just because Hashem makes distinctions between two different types of things doesn't mean one is important, one is not. Right? Just because Hashem is mavdil between day or night, does that mean that night is not important? Of course night is important. If we didn't have night, we wouldn't be able to sleep, we wouldn't be able to function. Obviously, night is important. There's a chashivas, there's an importance to both day and night. But we need to know that they have to be separate. You can't mix the two. If a person doesn't distinguish between day and night, then they're going to run themselves ragged. And they're not going to get enough sleep. And they're going to be up when they're supposed to be sleeping. They're going to be sleeping when they're supposed to be up. And if night and day just run into one another, well, then the person's not going to be able to function. You need to have Havdalah. You need to distinguish. But it doesn't mean day is better than night or night is better than day. It just means in order to be a normal functioning human being, you have to have a brain to distinguish when you're supposed to be doing different things at different times. You need to guard the uniqueness and independence of each thing. Look at what Rav Kook writes in his Oros HaKodesh. This is in the second Chelek. He says, V'zosi nachas Hashem b'chol derech HaKodesh. He says, in everything that is holy, hafrada amanas hischabrus. There is separation for the future hope of connecting. Lahefech.
A couple.
What?
Like a couple.
Good. Good. That's a good example, right? A couple remains separate. They become their own independent people. They build themselves up. And then when they become independent, they can join together to become a couple, right? Sometimes you have a relationship that's not healthy is a couple that can't be apart, like at all. Like the wife goes to work and the husband's like sobbing at home. They're like, his wife is not there and he's alone. That's not healthy, right? That he needs to be his own independent. When he's able to be his own person, then when they're together, they'll be even stronger. But if you're so codependent that you can't function without the other person, not a healthy relationship at all. There needs to be havdalah. There needs to be distinctions. Person has their life and they do the things over here and you do your life things over there. I imagine that you all have come across at some point friendships where the person is just suffocating and they always need to be all the time and they can't have any break. Not the person's a bad person, but like, I need to be myself. I need to develop myself sometimes. And I cannot always be with you all the time. I need to be my independent person at some time as well. Lehefech mehaklala hagasa, hamidaberes gedulos v'almeres la'agedus kol d'chil d'achas. He says, what's terrible is everything is one big mishmash cholent, and there's no distinctions. Right? There's no separate identities. Umavedis is kol hod ruchani v'etzili. And what happens is you lose your entire personality because everybody has to be the same. Everybody has to dress the same. Everybody has to think the same. Everybody has to eat the same. Everybody has to act the same way. Everybody has to talk the same way. And nobody in the group has any independent personality at all. And what happens? It's destructive. It's unhealthy that nobody has their own personality, their own view of things. And that's not a good thing, says Rav Kook. He says, Sitra achra shari b'chibur v'sayim b'piruda. He says the sitra achra, the satan, it finds itself with people who always want to be together all the time. Eventually, their end will be pirud, will be separation. Sitra de kedusha, but the side of holiness, says Rav Kook, is shari bepirud. It rests with people who are separate, b'sayim bechibur, but they come together to be one unit. The first thing, says Rav Kook, is to be independent, to make havdalah, to make distinctions. And then you can work together as a group. Distinctions come to bring unity. Throughout the world, they talk about unity and there should be achdus and everybody should get along. When you simply mix everything together, at the end, things will fall apart and they'll be left with nothing because nobody can be their own person. Am Yisrael were created separate in order to bring up our own unique character traits. People say, the Jewish people, they're separate, they do their own things, they don't intermarry, they don't eat other people's food, they live in their own communities, they don't care about other people, they're against unity and shalom and peace on earth. Why do they always do their same thing? We separate ourselves so we can build our unique character of being a Jew. And then when we develop ourselves, we bring our shleimus, we bring our message to the world to bring happiness and peace and unity to the people around us. But if everybody does the same thing, and then we can't develop who we are as a person. First there's Havdalah, first there's distinctions, and then we can bring hischabrus, we can bring unity afterwards. Yeah.
What's the second sitra?
Sitra de Kedusha, side of holiness versus the side of not holiness. Hamavda ben kodesh l'chol ben Yisrael amim. There's a need for chol. There's a need for mundane things in the world. If everybody was just davening and learning Torah all day and only meditating, then the world wouldn't be able to function. There's a place for chol. There's a place for mundane things in the world, but there's also a need for kedusha. And you have to know the difference between this is a mundane thing and this is a holy thing. If you start treating every mundane thing as holy, then you're going to lose out on what is in fact holy, right? If a person says a baseball game is holy, and a walk in the park is holy, and everything becomes kosher, everything I do is holy, 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 because I say it's holy, well then the things that are actually holy become mundane. Because you can't distinguish between what davening is and what learning Torah is, and what is hanging out with friends, and what is studying for geometry. Those are not the same things. There's a havdalah between those things as well. We need to know the difference. And the better you can distinguish, the more you can join together and work as a unit to enhance the world and enhance Kedusha. Now, that was all a giant introduction. Yeah. Let's now apply what we said, that the concept of being mavdil and what chibur is, to actually havdalah. I want to learn together with you a piece from Rav Hirsch in his work, Chorev. I don't know if we discussed, I think we did quote from Chorev before. Chorev is Rav Hirsch's major work on the mitzvos, about the reasons for mitzvos. We're not going to go into the whole discussion about how he organizes it and how it came to be. Let's just read his section on Havdalah. Now, I'm telling you, this is a translation from the German into English. It's a little bit wordy, and no one's done a real good English translation since like 1930, whatever. What? The Chorev? Yeah? The Chumash. His parish on Chumash is done. There's a new updated modern translation, and it's excellent from the original German. Chorev, nobody has touched. I don't know why. Let's look at what he says over here about Havdalah. This has been introduced into one's home life at the conclusion of the Sabbath. We say Havdalah in the house at the end of Shabbos. In order to preserve during the workday week, then beginning the concept of one's mission in life, which one has gained from the Shabbos that has now bidden us a farewell. The purpose of Havdalah, says Rav Hirsch, is to bring Shabbos into the week, is to schlep the Kiddush of Shabbos into our work week. In Tefillah, we spoke about this in another section, he says, after you have, through your tefillah, meaning what you said, Havdalah and Davening, conceived your working week in the spirit of the Shabbos, you've imbued the week with the Kedusha of Shabbos, you at once introduce this spirit into your occupational life itself through Havdalah, which is exactly what we're saying. The act of Havdalah, distinguishing, this was Shabbos, now this is Chol, is actually a way to be mechaber, to connect the Kedusha of Shabbos to the week, which you recite over the wine cup, proclaiming God as the designer of life's cycles, that the weekdays, like the Shabbos, are planned by Him as patterns and directives of his wisdom. That Hashem controls the week. If on Shabbos we spend 25 hours meditating that Hashem is the creator of the universe, says Rav Hirsch, let's take that concept of Shabbos and apply it to our work week. And to use that concept that Hashem runs the world in the way we go to work, we run our business, and we run our lives. Yeah.
I feel like it feels a little bit contradictory, though, because we have to bring this Kedusha into the week and make it more holy, but then at the same time we're supposed to separate the Shabbos as more holy than the week.
Good. So what we're saying is that only if I can distinguish that Shabbos is this very special capsule during the week, and the weekday is this time, and I make the havdal between the two, can I then say to myself, maybe Shabbos will be Shabbos, but there are parts of Shabbos, there are messages of Shabbos that I can bring with me to apply to my week. I'm not going to turn Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday into Shabbos. That would be terrible, because that would desecrate the distinction between Shabbos being very holy and the weekday being mundane. But what I can do by learning how to distinguish that Shabbos has a message for me, I can take pieces of that message and apply it to my week. But I can only do that if I have a concept of what is holy and what is not holy. I'm not saying Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday should become Shabbos. That would be terrible, because that means there's no Havdalah. But what we are saying is that there are things about my life as a Jew that Shabbos teaches me that I can use in order to run my life during the week. Yeah, so let's do a little bit more. He says, indeed, just as the holy is set apart as a contrasting standard for that which is unholy and which needs sanctification, light and darkness, Israel and mankind, so also must the Shabbos be kept distinct and marked out as a beacon for the weekday. The Shabbos is a light, it's a recharge station. It's a place where we come to Shabbos, bring spiritual nutrients and messages from Shabbos, whether it's discussing the Parsha, whether it's talking about Emunah, whether it's talking about Hashem's role in the world, whether it's Bitachon, whatever those messages of Shabbos are that we connect to, we can take a little bit of that and apply it during the week. If Shabbos is a time where we reflect on the idea that Hashem is the ultimate creator, and that I take a break, and I don't do any work, and I don't think about my business, and I'm not looking to make money, and I take a day off, I can take a piece of that into the week and say, I can also live my weekday with a little bit of that message. I don't have to be totally obsessed with money. I don't have to work 15-hour days so I can make one extra dollar. I can take the messages of Shabbos without actually being Shabbos and apply it to bring that into the week and make a chibur. I can make a connection between Shabbos and the weekday without actually making the weekday Shabbos itself. And therefore, he says, by culminating in those very weekdays by your decision to fulfill God's holy purpose of the Shabbos in your weekday life. Whatever the messages that Hashem wants us to learn about on Shabbos, I can now take them and apply them to the way I live my life during the week. He gives two examples of what we use by Havdalah. He says, Besamim, the sense which borders closest on the spiritual and also acts directly upon the mind, indeed, it revives the languid, it revives that which is weak, is that of smell. Besamim were therefore added to the Havdalah benediction, the Havdalah blessing, to remind you that now that Shabbos, the source of your becoming invigorated, Shabbos, the thing that lifted you up and gave you such chizuk and was a place and an island to rest after a difficult week, consecrated and dedicated, has departed, you should cling fast to the spiritual strength which you have already gained from the Shabbos and not be dragged down by your weekday occupations. You smell the Besam by Havdalah to say, I can bring the chizuk of Shabbos into the week. When I smell the besamim by Moshe Shabbos, I'm invigorated with a feeling of all is not lost. It's not, back to the week again. It's, I can take some of that with me. It gives me a bit of life to smell and to be reminded of the Kedusha of Shabbos.
Why does it have to be besamim, though? Why can't it be like any smell, though?
Well, you think besamim is clothes.
It's just a smell. Oh, it's not.
No, besamim means anything you make the bracha borei me besamim on. It can be, I don't like the smell of cloves, so we don't use cloves, so we use cinnamon, which is perfectly fine. Has to be something that grows from the, like a natural thing that grows from the ground. Yeah.
I get the idea of bringing something from shops into the week, because I feel like with rest, if you're like during the week working, you're like, oh, you know what, like I'm gonna take an idea from Shabbos and just like not work so
sleep
hard
right now.
And it's like, I don't know.
The idea of Shabbos is
no
not the idea of Shabbos is not to not work so hard. The idea of Shabbos is that a person recognizes that Hashem is in control of the world. That I don't have to micromanage every single thing. That Hashem is the ultimate creator. That's one idea. The message of Shabbos is not to nap. That's not what Shabbos is about. Yeah.
But also, like, here you're saying that like you're bringing something from Shabbos into your weekday, but like also on Shabbos you have to like an Hashem Yisir, and like when you smell something leaves.
Correct. That's true. That is the main reason for the Besamim is the Neshama Yisera. So Rav Hirsch is adding an additional aspect to it. 100% correct. He's adding an additional layer. Ner. Let's look at the candle. The element by which man can extract objects from nature, meaning the way that we are able to control and use nature, and by which he gains control over things, thus averring and conferring man's mastery over nature is fire. When we think about what distinguishes early man to be able to build cities, cook food, right? You know, fight wars. All of these things is what is fire. Fire, the ability to create fire, is what separates physical man from physical animals. It allows us to build and to conquer and to rule the world, is fire. And so, as soon as you get, again, enter your working week, and you commence your struggle to control the forces of the world, and I'm back there, and I'm going to determine what my destiny is, I'm going to say how much money I'm going to make, and what my job is going to be, and it's me, 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 and I control everything, the Shabbos has taught us that you are active only by the power of God, and by the strength given to you by God and His will. You should therefore declare that the element let loose so ingeniously, which is the product helping you to master the world, is a gift presented to the world by God. Baruch Ma'orei Ha'esh, right? Thank God who created, who's Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. We recognize that fire, the things that allows us to control the world, is really just a gift from Hashem. We didn't invent fire on our own. It was handed to us as a gift by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be able to conquer the world. So when you think that I'm going to make this deal, I'm going to save this person, I'm going to cure this disease, me, me, I'm going to do this, don't forget that the koach to conquer anything, i.e. fire, comes from Hashem. It is incumbent upon you, therefore, to will and to implement this mastery of the forces of the world only in accord with God's will. So if you're going to run the world and you're going to be in charge of the world, make sure you do it al pi Hashem. Run your business ethically. Be honest the way you treat people with kindness, conquer the world, but do it in the way Hashem said so. That you have this intention very much at heart, you manifest by uttering the expressive bracha of Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh over a meaningful symbol of the content and intent of your mission in life, as the Shabbos has taught you. Yeah.
You mean like fire, like passion and will? Or
no, like actual fire.
Why does that help you run the world?
Because fire is the initial, for all of mankind, for all societies, they built up with the ability to have fire. Fire allows you to cook food. Fire allows you to build. Fire allows you to conquer. Fire, for earliest mankind, was what distinguishes between those who could and those who could not. Yeah.
But like, I'm saying, how nowadays, like when you're open, like, you're a teacher, you're a lawyer, you're like, what does fire have to do with that? I feel like
because
it's more passion.
We'll talk for a teacher. A teacher can make the mistake and think that I am going to change lives. I'm going to inspire, I'm going to educate, and I'm the one who's going to do it. And it's very easy for a teacher to fall prey to their feeling of, if it's not for me, then this kid's going to go off the derech. This kid's not going to, they're not going to believe in Hashem. They're not going to keep Torah mitzvahs. That comes from a lot of gaiva. Because they think that I'm conquering, I'm making the world better. Even the teacher, even the lawyer who's going to think, I'm going to make this deal, I'm going to get this person off, I'm going to, you know, solve this case, they'll think it's all me. That's what fire represents. I'm conquering, I'm doing it, I hold the power. And Shabbos reminds us, no. Borei Ma'orei Ha'esh. Hashem is the one who made that fire. Hashem gives that to you. Those kochos, those talents, those abilities that you have, those are gifts from Hashem.
So it's not physical fire.
Well, in its early days it was physical fire, but physical fire represents the ability to conquer and to do. So let's just tie this all together. Let's just bring this all together. Havdalah teaches us the importance of making distinctions and to have das and to know the place of different things. And when you're able to do that, you can make a chibur. You can connect Shabbos and bring the messages of Shabbos into the week. So my hope is that this coming mostly Shabbos, when we stand or we sit by the besamim and the flame and the kos, and we hear the brachos being said, instead of thinking, you know, let's get this over with so I can get to my Motzei Shabbos activity, and, you know, can we move this along because I have things to do, hopefully the tam hamitzvah here will give a little bit more meaning to Havdalah. And when we hear the brachos and we answer amen to the brachos, and we're paying attention to what's being said, to take that message of being mavdil, being kadosh l'chol, and to bring those messages of Shabbos into the rest of the week. Okay, we'll stop.